Welcome to the Diamond Prospects podcast. For more information, please check out thediamondprospects.com. Welcome back, baseball fans. This is Austin Alexander with Diamond Prospects, and we just want to bring you back to an updated version of our podcast that we started back in the pandemic when everything shut down. We got hot and heavy with these things and helped us fill a void. Obviously, there's not a lot of baseball going on right now, but now is the time we're gearing up for a season. Obviously, everything got shut down and affected everyone that would be within earshot of this last spring. We were just getting started, and then everything came to a screeching halt. We all were forced to get creative and find new things on television, especially without sports to fall back on. But when the green light came on, everybody kind of got going again. Unfortunately, our sport was one of the ones that was able to play. Now, we had to get creative and where you worked out and where you practiced and how you got ready. I think all of us played on different fields and in different venues than we ever have before, some less than what we would prefer, but it was an opportunity to play baseball. We were happy to be out there. A lot of games were played throughout the summer and the spring, the summer and the fall. All of our showcases here at Diamond Prospects, while we for 15 years had used most of the same weekends and venues, we had to get real creative with that as well and move things around. Really, even though the calendars flipped to another year, and we're happy to see 2020 in the rearview mirror, we still have some challenges ahead of us. And so, like many of you, whether you're a coach or a scout or what it is we do for a living, these high school coaches are in different areas. A lot of questions abound when it comes to, well, what is 2021 going to look like? When are we going to be able to practice? When are we able to do this? What do we foresee? So, I thought the best thing that we could do as Diamond Prospects is to pull together some guys that might be able to help answer some questions. And keep in mind, the reason we came up with the panel we have, which starts with an 864 area code. Dale Nelson is the head coach at Hillcrest High School. He's with us. Tim Perry at Airport High School, which is in the Midlands. He's with us. And then Bo Sharpia down in Somerville is going to be joining us as well. So the four of us and these three guests are going to try to navigate where things are now, what is on the horizon, and then of course just kind of look into our crystal ball and give you an idea of what we're seeing based on what we hear. But keep in mind, there are so many different things in play here, starting with the high school league. You've got counties at any point that can cancel things, move things, mandate things. Individual districts within a county. You've got principals that may weigh in on this, ADs. And then, of course, you got the high school coaches that are also trying to make the best decisions for their players and their season. So we're just going to kind of dive right into that. And if we can, we'll just start at the top in 864 area code. We got Coach Nelson sitting up there. If you could just give us, and we'll go one at a time, just what are you doing presently in a nutshell to get ready for when that bell does ring for you, Coach Nelson?
Hey, Austin, thanks for having us on. right now for us, we're in a, I think they call it 1.5, and it's very confusing. But I was given directive by my athletic director that we're allowed to have, we can condition right now. We can't use a baseball, can't use any baseball equipment. But we've been conditioning now since, I guess it was late November, early December. We're allowed to work in groups of 15, and that includes coaches. So I take a group of 14 guys, and I send an assistant coach with 14 other guys, and we have to be at a different, what they call the high school league calls a facility, which may be the softball field, which may be a track. But we have to be spread out, and, we're getting after it 4 to 5 days a week doing that, trying to get our guys ready. And, the one thing is just being around the guys. We get to be together as a group. And we were fortunate enough to be able to play in the Diamond Prospect Fall League. So, we were able to get back on the field with our guys, having not seen them since March. But for us right now, that's all we can do. And it's very complex. We have to check them in every day, temperature check, questions and all that. It takes about 15 minutes before we can actually even get started. And that's done every single day.
Coach Perry?
Yeah, just to follow up on kind of what Coach Nelson said, in the Midlands area, I think from a South Carolina High School League standpoint, where they took away the preseason on the field time with players and kind of added some time in February. So we're really in a conditioning, weightlifting mode. From a district standpoint, we can, you know, we can bring them in after school to do weightlifting and or conditioning, no baseball drills or baseball specific stuff. Now, I'm very fortunate at Airport to have an upper level PE class that we can do some PE stuff, or excuse me, some baseball stuff in that 90 minute period during the school day. Unfortunately, we opened up after the school year in a virtual setting. So I have not seen my guys since before December 18th when we got out of school. But, you know, we can throw, we can hit, we can do some baseball specific activities in that 90 minute class period during the school day. But after school or before school, we would have to only lift weights. And we've been bringing our group in, you know, at various times to do that, you know, various age groups and various times to do that as well. As far as the other, you know, schools and other districts, I think each one of them has a very similar plan that follows the high school league rules as far as what they can do outside of the school day.
And as we work our way down Interstate 26, we land in the low country. Coach Charpia joining us. What's going on down that way, sir?
Very similar to Coach Perry's fall. I'm sorry, Coach Nelson's fall. We were able to and fortunate to play in the Diamond Prospects Fall League. However, unlike what they experienced up there, our facility was completely shut down. So we were able to play in the league, but we were not able to practice on our facility. And that kind of – that hurt us a little bit. Luckily, coming into this year, we have a veteran group, and they're able to get work done on their own, and they're – half our rising seniors are playing, you know, elsewhere in the fall and various tournaments, what have you. So that didn't hurt us too much. But as we got into the winter, we were only able to work out speed and agility wise four times as a group. And they were good spirited workouts, and we got good leadership. But at the same time, our weightlifting class for baseball, for lack of better words, our baseball class won't start until the spring. And so we don't have that we had not had that in school option to be able to work out at our facility to get around some of these guidelines and some of these rules that our district's put into place. And obviously, you know, the closed season rules for the high school league. And so as we got into the winter, obviously now our district, unlike most of the other districts up and down the low country, and of course into the Grand Strand, you know, they're all wide open right now, and we're still closed. District 2 is still closed as far as facilities go. We don't even get ramped back up until the 29th game wise as far as wrestling and basketball are concerned. And so what does that mean for baseball? We're shut down. We can't even go. Our guys have to go work out at a different facility. And obviously we're not in school. We are e-learning right now. We're e-learning. We've e-learned the last 2 weeks. We're e-learning for two more weeks. What does that mean? That means no sports and at all. And so that takes us out of weightlifting. That takes us out of conditioning. We've had a couple Zoom meetings, team meetings. We started fundraising. We got a good group of older players coming back, which is helpful, especially this year, because they're able to kind of take the young guys under their wing and go lift at a facility and go hit. So less concerning on that end, but still concerning going forward as we get into February. And we're a go February 1st with tryouts and practice. But right now, very, very limited contact with the guys. They're close-knit group. I'm not real worried about the camaraderie and the cohesiveness, but in terms of looking forward, everything's really, really fluid. Our parents know that, our players know that, but it's a little unnerving. And, you know, we're looking forward to get started. We're itching. It's January. Looking forward to get started. The baseball people everywhere in January are looking forward to, I mean, it's time to go. And here we are kind of on hold. So, yeah, we haven't been able to get together as much as those two guys, but we feel like we're in good shape going in February 1st, but we're still a little nervous.
Well, fortunately, all three coaches that are on this panel, if you didn't know already, had good seasons going last year before everything came to that screeching halt. Obviously, all three of these guys do a good job, and their programs are staples in our across our state every year, and contending for hardware at the end, and no change this year. All three of these guys are sitting on good rosters and should be chomping at the bit to get on the field. And so that kind of leads us from, you know, January, end of January, Pro Day is coming up, Diamond Prospects Pro Day. If you're a baseball fan in the area and you want to see the cream of the crop on the field in front of pro scouts in a venue that's it's fun to watch, that's on January the 31st. That's coming up. And then when that calendar flips, February 1, that's kind of been the target date for high school baseball players, high school coaches that just want to get their guys back together and on the field. February 1 gets here. Now, February is going to be different for us here at Diamond Prospects. Typically, we see between 60 and 70 teams during February through our scrimmages. These coaches and many others, we're able to get 6 to 8 of them on the field on a Saturday. It allows us to see a lot of players in a short amount of time. It allows us to see their entire rosters. A lot of them will bring guys up from JV. You can see, you know, 6 or 7 pitchers versus one guy through 7. And that's been valuable for us. I know in a lot of places across the state, scrimmages have been cut from 4 to 2, and some schools are not allowed to scrimmage at all. If you guys could, we'll go straight back to Coach Sharpia and work our way around again. Starting in February, you know, first day of practice, hopefully you're back in school, hopefully you're back on the field. Give us an idea how this February is going to be a little bit different. And then even spill into not only the pre-practices, the preseason practices, but the preseason scrimmages, and also preseason tournaments that are, you know, really the signal of the season.
Well, yeah, as you know, as these guys know, they're fully aware that, you know, the high school league cut back on our scrimmages from 4 to 2. So that limits us, but we're lucky this year we're going to have a bigger roster, I think, than we normally do. So inter squad is going to be the name of the game, getting guys some innings in that format. Going to have to be well planned out. Obviously, February 1st, we start with our, you know, tryout and, you know, the last couple of days and our JV and B team and getting that squared away. But in terms of scrimmages, you know, we normally like to go up and scrimmage your Blythe Woods and your AC Floras and your Lexingtons, and that just won't happen this year. And it's unfortunate because we like to get on the bus and go 2 hours away and play a quality opponent and you know, within reason and get to see some arms and see where we stand a little bit and see what we have to learn, which is usually a lot. But going into February, limited on scrimmages. Also, because our regions have gotten together, Region 7 and 8, that is, and created a combined kind of a mega schedule, we're strapped. We're already concreted with 21 games, three-game series within our region, and then we have 3 cross-region opponents, which equal 21 games. And so we're limited on the number of tournaments we can play in. And going into this season, you know, we were invited to the IP Classic. We were heading up there. We're going to Forest Acres over there, Coach Howlett. You know, Forest Acres, spring break tournament, really good tournament. And now, because of our new updated schedule, we're limited on what we can do. And now I've got to be smart about what our guys will do in terms of off the field, what we need to do during the season to stay away from contact tracing, from COVID protocol, like from all, any kind of issues with COVID. And so it's looking like we're not going to be able to go to the IP Classic now because we can't spend the night. That's been mandated. We're limited to 21. We're limited to 5 games now after our 21 game schedule has been announced. And that really stinks. Our kids have earned the right to go play in these prestigious tournaments. And now we're strapped, we're limited. But I, as a coach, I've got to make a decision. Hey, do I try to get on a bus and go to Georgetown every day? Well, there's another mandate that says we can't play any further out than 3 days from our first region game and our first region series against Cane Bay, a real good opponent. Coach Todd does a great job over there, so we want to be ready for that. It's a cross opponent, but it's not, you know, it's not necessarily a region opponent, but it's our schedule. And we want to honor that and honor the integrity of that schedule. So I've been in coach with been in touch with you know, Alicia up there at the IP and Coach West, and you know, I didn't like we're going to be able to go up there because of it, and we're probably going to stay here and play in the hit during spring break and keep our guys within arm's reach and, you know, put our eyeballs on them during spring break to make sure they're not going and doing things that are that would expose our players to anything that's unhealthy or anything that could be a COVID-related issue heading into our region schedule, which now falls right after our spring break. We start our region schedule, right? And as you got these other two guys fully aware, you know, your region schedule is your most important part of your schedule, and get you ready for the playoffs, and we got to be ready for that. So we're going to stay here and play in the HIT tournament. And that's kind of been a, you know, kind of it's bittersweet, but it's what we got to do and to set ourselves up for what we want to do long term in this season. And I hate it for our guys because we want to go to the IP and we're not going to be able to. So that's kind of our situation here, and we're limited, but we got to get creative with inter squads and be ready on March 15th. We got Berkeley as a scrimmage, and we got Brooklyn Casey, my cousin's coming down here with, you know, his arsenal of arms he's got. And I want to see every last one of them, Arkansas commit and whoever he's got, you know, and just grapple with them for 10 innings or so. But it's kind of hamstringing our schedule. And I'll let these other guys talk about theirs. But, yeah, it's unfortunate for teams who've earned their way into some good tournaments and hamstringing us a little bit.
So true. Coach Perry, help me. The date that I've got written down is no scrimmages before February 22nd. Is that accurate? Yeah,
correct. Okay. That is correct.
Okay. If you could piggyback off of what Coach Sharpie said in regards to where you guys are going forward here.
Yeah, as he mentioned, he kind of hit on all the high school league changes to the schedule. Our two scrimmages, we're very fortunate to have as many teams in the Midlands as we have. We're going to scrimmage White Knoll and River Bluff, which are real close to us, so we don't have to travel. In our district, we do not have a travel mandate, but a lot of the other districts are recommending, you know, no more than an hour and really trying to stay close and play common opponents. I think one difference for us from what Bo said is we begin our region schedule right away. So, we were also invited to play in the IP Classic, but unfortunately with not being able to stay overnight, as well as starting our region schedule on the Monday, I believe it's Monday, March 15th, it unfortunately didn't work out for us. And we were very fortunate to be included in the Nature Chem, I think for the seventh straight year. They had a late drop and were able to accommodate us. So really those two scrimmages, we're going to probably in the past where we've had four scrimmages, we would probably throw more pitchers. I think we're going to try to use those two scrimmages to throw some of our better guys and extend them out a little bit since those scrimmages are later. We initially were planning on using our baseball class to be able to ramp up some arms. Unfortunately, with missing these last 2 weeks due to virtual learning, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks trying to get as many pins as we can in, provided we go back to school, which the plan is to go back to school tomorrow. So, you know, we're going to try to go ahead and get some pins going. And then February 1st, we'll try to continue with our pins and ramping those guys' pitch counts up a little bit so that by February 22nd, we can extend those guys, you know, to 45, 60 pitches. Whereas in the past, when we've been able to scrimmage 1 week after the start of, you know, we've been able to scrimmage around February 8th, we would throw guys for 15 to 18 pitches, one inning apiece, and throw 9 or 10 guys. Now we're probably going to throw those back end guys 5 through 10 in inter squads during the week. And that's where, you know, just to piggyback on what Bo said, you got to get creative with your practice plan. We're very fortunate to have an older group as well. And a lot of our first and thirds, our bunt coverages, our pickoff plays, things of that nature have already been put in. They need to be reviewed, but they've been put in. And with having an older group, you know, we won't have to spend as much time on that. We'll be able to inter squad a little more weather permitting. And I think that'll help us get prepared for the season. You know, the our schedule has not changed as much as theirs. We're playing two games in conference. We did move our conference games to Monday, Thursday, as opposed to the traditional Tuesday, Friday. And I think what that'll do is give us a chance. It basically gives us 3 days to make up games if weather comes into play. Now, obviously, if there's COVID issues, you know, we're going to have to get together and get creative again with how to, you know, make changes in our schedule and balance those out. We've got a lot of non-region games toward the end of the season, so we may end up having to cancel or postpone some of those to get region games in. As Bo mentioned, those region games are all important for your playoff seedings and everything. So we chose to play on the front end. Most of our region games are before spring break. We will host a 3-game spring break tournament at our place. We have had a couple, had to make a couple modifications for some Greenville County teams that we're planning to travel down to it. But I think we're still going to be able to, you know, we've got a plan in place to get those games in. And, you know, we're just, we're like everybody else. We're keeping our fingers crossed that we don't have a lot of delays, a lot of postponements, a lot of cancellations. We're going to be very smart on our end in how we practice, using as much space as available to us. We also have a new indoor practice facility that we can use as well, that's going to help us spread players out to really kind of keep an eye on that contact tracing. If we do have any positive test, we're hoping to be able to make it affect as little people as possible through contact tracing and the way we try to spread out practice using every you know, cage and every bunt station and the field, and trying to keep the guys spread out, you know, maybe only hitting two guys in a group as opposed to four guys in a group during BP like we have in the past, and having a cage group, a T group, a bunt group, you know, a bucket group, a defense group, and really just keeping them spread out as much as we can. Because, you know, when you have between your JV and varsity, we usually practice those teams together. And, you know, when you have roughly 30 to sometimes on the high end 40, you know, you have to get creative on spreading those guys around the field as much as you can to avoid some of those obstacles that may present themselves.
Coach Nelson?
Yeah, those guys have touched on most of it. You know, everybody's had to become, you know, I used to work for Jack Leggett a lot at camps, and he's one of his sayings was MTA, make the adjustment. And I think this entire season is going to be, I'm probably going to get to put that to use more than ever with just making the adjustment. We've scheduled 26 games. We host a preseason tournament. We're, you know, last week we had to send in everything, and whether it gets approved or not by Greenville County, that's still up in the air. You know, our region only has 5 teams, excuse me. So we only have four opponents in our region, and we have 12 region games. We play each other Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So that gives us a little more time. I did exactly like Tim. I've backloaded my schedule because our region will end so early before the playoffs that our non-region games are mostly in the back of our schedule. You know, the thing I'm probably going to approach a little differently, and some people may think I'm crazy for saying this, but, you know, there's been some comments, and I heard these guys say it too, about the most important games are the region games. And that is obviously true because everybody wants to get to the end of the season. But I'm taking the approach a little bit differently this year that I missed out a whole year with my guys. Selfishly, I have a son that's on the team that I want to coach that I didn't get to coach last year, and he's a senior. And all these seniors, since I'm new at Hillcrest, just I've had them all since they were sophomores. And they're a really tight group. And every game is going to be important for me because I don't know when it's going to be the last one. So I'm going to enjoy every single day, and I want to play as much as we possibly can play. All of us will agree that it's going to be – I'm in a very good region. J.L. Mann, T.L. Hanna, Malden, and Woodmont. And, you know, only two teams are going to make the playoffs this year out of every region. Well, two really good teams in our region is going to get left out because, you know, you can only take two. So we may, you know, we open up with Mauld in week one in region. That's a pretty big, that's a pretty big series, three games. So, you know, if you lay an egg in the first week, I mean, you got an uphill climb the rest of the year just to make the playoffs. I'm not going to, I'm going to focus on the day to day. I'm not going to focus on worrying about if we get canceled here and all this. I'm going to enjoy every single day I get with my guys. And, you know, my AD said it best. We have a new wrestling coach at Hillcrest, and he says, you know, I don't think this year is going to be an indication of what type of coach you are based on your win-loss record, simply because there's so many uncontrollables. There's so many things that we're not going to be able – you may do every single thing right, and you get ready to play, and you're kind of set up with your pitching, and all of a sudden your opponent, they have an outbreak of COVID, and that whole week gets canceled. Well, now I get pushed back, and I might have JL Man Mauldin back-to-back weeks. That's six pretty important games in a two-week period, and all of a sudden I get an outbreak. And, you know, it's the unknown that's really scary for us. We baseball coaches are creatures of habit, as you well know, and we all have a routine that we're used to doing. And because that routine is going to get disrupted quite often. I mean, I think we're naive to think there's not going to be some cancellations and postponements. As we've seen through football, basketball, and just on the college level, the professional level, and things like that, there's going to be some postponements. So the biggest thing is you just got to be ready to go every day, and you got to be willing to make adjustments throughout the season. You know, our district's pretty stringent on the fact, just like the other guy said, that if we're in e-learning, and you know, I feel a little bit confident tomorrow we start back school with three groups a day. And I feel like if we're going to be able to have three groups a day in school, we definitely should be able to play athletics in an open air environment. So, you know, I'm just going to take it day by day. We're going to be very organized. We're not going to practice JV and varsity together for the first time in 25 years for me, because I can't afford, if I have an outbreak on JVs and with close contacts, lose my varsity guys or vice versa. So we're going to probably practice a little longer. We're going to bring the JVs in while they get field work, probably do our pitchers in the bullpen. And then once the JVs finish up and go to the cages, bring our varsity guys to the field. And, you know, we're just going to have to do it a little differently. But I think everybody's ultimate goal is just to get to play. And we'll do whatever it takes to do. I hear some people complaining about this and that. And I just want to play. And I want to be around my guys every single day. And to do that, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. There's a possibility we may not even take a bus to our games this year. We may drive just as we do in the Diamond Prospect Fall League. But if that takes away, you know, you're on a bus and a kid ends up testing positive, the close contact's going to put some of your guys out being on that bus. So we're taking if we were to take a bus, we'd probably take two buses for one varsity baseball game. That includes taking, you know, our county makes us be accountable to, when you go back and do the contact tracing, if you have a practice plan and you can identify where everybody was in that practice plan and they were that closer together for 15 minutes, then you only lose the guy who is out for that period of time. And so to do that, you take a picture of your guys on the bus. You have designated spot. We've even talked about while you're playing the game, when you're on defense and your nine guys are in the field, your 7, 8, 9 substitutes are in the dugout. When the team comes off the field, those guys have to go to the bullpen. And we did some of that in summer baseball. So just to make sure that you're not losing a lot of guys at one time. But the biggest thing is just being flexible. And, you know, you're just going to have to be flexible. There's nothing you can do about it, because the ultimate goal is for these kids to get on the field again.
We'll stay right there with you, Coach Nelson, and you – basically hit on one of the things that I want to get into next with each of you. And this is where it gets really fuzzy, because everybody's crystal ball is going to look a little bit different. Your situation is different based on where you are geographically, all the rules in place that may be mandated to you and handed down to your program. But you mentioned the travel. There are a couple of things that I want to touch on and let everybody where they sit particularly, and maybe some other schools and areas are dealing with where they are. You mentioned not only the travel, I'd like to get a sense of how that's going to affect maybe the other two coaches as well, and some different things that have been kicked around, just getting two games that are on the road, attendance at your own home games, maybe even on the road, but certainly the ones you have control over, We've heard different things about restrictions in terms of numbers of people in the ballpark and spacing and et cetera, et cetera. And then Coach Nelson, something else you hit on earlier is, you know, what constitutes shutting a game down? I mean, how many people have to be eligible or ineligible before somebody can actually throw the flag on that? Is that a high school league thing? Is that something that coaches get together and figure out? I mean, does the principal get involved? Are those all still question marks that need to be sorted through so that you don't have cancellations just because they've lost a couple games in a row or an injury has occurred or, you know, they're just not ready to go and it's not a good night for that matchup. Pushing right. it back would help. Those are just things that I want you guys to kind of talk about. And really, for that matter, anything else that you think other people would benefit hearing, maybe questions you've gotten inundated with, questions you've got still about what's going on and can't quite get an answer on. If we could, I'm just going to lob this topic out there to you to kind of go wherever you feel like and maybe touch on those few things that I just mentioned. And so, Coach Nelson, why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
You know, Tim and I are both on the Baseball Coach Association. We're on the board. We're past presidents, or Tim may be in line to be a president. And so we've been dealing with this since basically the summer. Obviously, there, you know, in the beginning, there was a point to move baseball to the fall, and there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of things. The one thing that I think has been lost a little bit, there's a lot of talk about being equitable in the high school league for this year. But I think a thing that gets lost a lot is that our kids lost an entire season. Not only did you lose a season for the guys who were playing, you lost a year of development for the guys who weren't able to, you know, your JV guys. Greenville County, we're a little different. We only get to work with 9th through 12th graders. And so you take all those things into consideration. I think that's why I have the opinion that every game's going to matter. Everything's going to matter to me day by day. I had a meeting with my athletic director last Thursday, and we met for an hour. And the first thing we talked about, which you mentioned, was attendance at games. It's going to be – you're used to in the summer where you just go in the stands, you spread out, and everybody, all the parents are allowed to come to the games on both sides. Our district will send people out. They will measure our stands. They will determine the number of people that are allowed. In some place, every school is different. If you have more room down the left field line, you can spread out there. Some people may be watching the games from the outfield fence. Obviously, this is a crazy number we threw out there. We may be allowed to have 50 fans, 50 tickets for home games for our side. And then our opponents, the way we looked at it, and we've kind of brainstorming a little bit with it. We may be limited to 15 visiting tickets. You're talking about 65 people at a game. And which is probably going to be, when you go on the road, you may only have 15 people there. So you got to be smart about how you figure out, okay, well, I think this kid's going to, he's a pitcher. He's only going to pitch on Wednesday this week. Got to make sure his parents can get there to watch him pitch on Wednesday. That's very difficult when you're telling a kid, you don't know if he's a reliever, he may be coming in one game, he may not pitch. So it's going to be really hard to determine who gets to come to games and who doesn't. We ran into a thing Friday night, basketball game, where the team was doing homecoming, and, we had no tickets available to us. They ended up making it, I think, we're 15 away tickets for a basketball game. And the same thing is going to happen in baseball. And, that's going to cause some issues when parents want to come watch their kids play. It's really hard to not, as a parent, not get to watch your kid compete. And fortunately for me, I get a front row seat every day. But is my wife going to get to come to the game? Or is my daughter going to get to come watch her brothers? You know, things like that come into play. So that's going to be that. That's something that's, but at the end of the day, it goes back to the kids are getting to play. And, we're not going to be able to – we cook hamburgers and have a big time at the game. That's not going to – can't do that this year. That's just something you're going to have to give up. So those things are difficult. But, in order to play, I'm willing to sacrifice those things for our kids to be able to get on the field. As far as travel is concerned, I've coached 20 – this is my 26th year coaching. We've never been allowed for kids to drive to the game. It's a liability issue. Well, all of a sudden with COVID now, it might be best that they do drive to the game to avoid the close contacts and things like that. And our district is going to allow us to do that. Then they sign a waiver and they transport themselves to and from the games. All of it is in the name of safety and prevention to allow us to continue to play. So I don't fault anybody for that. You know, I think some of the best times of my high school career, I remember the bus rides to and from games. This kid's going to miss out on that a little bit. The camaraderie, the consoling guys, or the, you know, just the celebration of victories, the little things that you kind of take for granted that you get to do every day, those things are not going to happen now. And, but it's all the sacrifice we have to make in order to get to play. And we're willing to do those things. You know, I believe the virus, I've had it. I mean, I can speak for it. I know it's real. I had it before Christmas. But at the end of the day, I mean, our kids have missed out on so much. They're not going to get a prom. They're not going to get a, you know, just things that people take for granted that you get to do every, you're not going to get Spirit Week at our school, which is a great event that raises a lot of money. But we haven't, these kids haven't experienced a pep rally. They haven't experienced any of the high school things that have gotten taken away. We can't take away sports. This is the one thing that, you know, these, a lot of these kids, and we'll talk on this later about the class of 21 and 22. They haven't even been allowed to be recruited, really. Haven't been able to come to, you know, go to campus. Haven't allowed coaches to come watch them in person. These kids have given up a lot. And to, just to be totally honest, most of it has been put on spring sports. And when I, or if I say baseball, I'm talking all spring sports. They're the ones who have been affected the most athletically are these kids, not in addition to the things they've missed out on the regular day to day. So, you know, I think it's up to us. And I hope our district, I hope our high school league, I hope those people do take into consideration. This is not the first time this has happened to this group of kids. It's the second time. And I hope they take in certain to do everything possible to allow us to play and to be flexible. And I know everybody keeps using the word fluid. That it's true. It changes day to day. But we have to find a way to allow these kids to get the experience. And then the long range for our programs is development. We have to have an opportunity to develop these kids. Basically, my 10th graders have practiced with us a month in their whole high school career. So they're going to be behind. And, you know, giving us every opportunity to get on the field, and then in return, coaches taking the responsibility to do everything they can do to ensure that their programs are able to play by following procedures and doing the thing. You know, there's always going to be one or two who just say, you know, we just do practice every day and go about our normal business. But I just don't think we can do that right now. So it's a difficult situation, but you know, I'm chomping at the bit to get out there on the field. But, you know, this weekend, Austin, you and I were together, and just to see kids running around the baseball field and having a good time and enjoying themselves. And it's almost like getting back to normal. I think that's what we all want. And, you know, I coach summer baseball and fall baseball, and we were able to play our games and we were able to do everything we need to do. And it's just, you know, I was fortunate enough to have some kids on my team, on our summer team and the fall team, but it's not everybody. It's not the whole group. And I just really – really hope everyone takes the precautions and do the things we need to do to be able to play our season. And the last thing, I know I get long-winded, the last thing I want to touch on is there are some questions about from each group of how you're going to determine when you shut down and when you don't shut down your program, like, or your team. So if I go to play Malden in week one and I'm without three of my pitchers because of, you know, being out of COVID or whatever, you know, what's going to be the criteria to shut down the games? Is it, you're missing your entire pitching staff. You don't have enough position players. Is it two? Is it five? Those are just a lot of the questions that I wish, and I think Tim will agree with me on this, I wish the high school league would take a proactive role in saying, okay, if you have four players quarantined, you can't play, or just give us something concrete to go by so everybody's playing with the same deck, so everybody's on the same page. And, you know, as a member of the Baseball Association, we were very proactive and trying to save our season and have our kids. And I just wish we would get some more guidance instead of just leaving it up to individual group or individual districts.
Well said, Nelly. TP, why don't you piggyback on top of that?
Yeah, to go right off that, just, you know, we talked about this before we started recording a little bit, and even I've been thinking about it, you know, while we've been on the call, and really not even thinking as much about, you know, my situation or Dale's situation or Bo's situation, but, you know, how about some smaller areas and maybe some smaller schools that they may not have a backup catcher or, you know, they may be very limited in their total roster number. So I do think there needs to be some clarity from the high school league on, you know, are there certain positions that you're missing that obviously a pitching staff is going to need to come into the conversation, because the pitch count rule is still in play and should be. You should never overuse pitchers, you know. But if you're missing two of them, you know, and they're quarantined for 14 days and you're still following a pitch count, do you have enough arms to be able to get through the amount of games scheduled? You know, that becomes more a safety issue than just, you know, the COVID-19 policies and regulations that you're following. Also putting somebody behind the plate that's never been behind the plate. You know, I mean, we all want those utility players that are willing to put on the tools of ignorance and go back there and do anything for the team. But are we putting a young man in jeopardy of injury when he's never caught before? You know, other positions, you can plug a third baseman or a second baseman in over at shortstop, and maybe he doesn't have the arm strength, but he's going to be able to, you know, to play the position. Obviously, outfielders, you know, you can do the same. But, you know, I think those are key positions that you kind of have to ask yourself, are we going to make teams play without their starting catcher for 2 weeks? Are we going to make teams play if they're missing, you know, one pitcher's one thing. If they start missing two and three pitchers out of their rotation, even if it's your top seven, you know, that's a big deal. So, you know, I think that's something that maybe as a board, you know, Nellie and I will probably talk more today and even get on the horn with Art and Jack and some of those other guys and, you know, talk about proposing some things to the high school league about how we're going to handle some of these issues moving forward. I think another question for me, not as much that I'm getting, but the question that I have is, if we do have, you know, delays and cancellations and postponements, you know, I want the high school league to have a plan as far as, are we going to, you know, limit the schedule? Are we going to try to do everything in our power to get these region games in? And if we even get to a point where we can't get the region games in or enough region games in, you know, are we going to look at possibly a 2-day tournament to get games in, maybe at the end, so that we can have playoff seedings and have playoffs? My other question is, how far are we willing to back the, you know, the season up? I mean, for us, because of when we started school, we don't graduate. I think our last day for teachers is June 22nd. So I think for the students, it's, you know, maybe the 18th or 20th. Obviously, graduation's been backed up into June as well. Right now, if the season went with no hiccups, I think the state championship week is June 1st through 6th. Well, are we willing to back that up, you know, 3 weeks? I realize you deal with vacations and senior trips and things like that. But, you know, again, it goes back to what Nellie said. These kids missed an entire season last year. And you know, I want to see us as a state, as a coaches association, as a high school league, I want to see us do everything possible, even if it means playing into the summer, to get these kids their high school season. Just to touch on a couple other things that he mentioned, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm glad I'm on this call because, you know, Dale mentioned some good things to consider about attendance and really I picked up a couple things about practice planning as well, but, you know, that's something, our athletic director and myself have not sat down to talk about. I think we are very fortunate at Airport because our facility is very open. We have a lot of room. The field's kind of down in a hole. And so we have one section of seating kind of right behind home plate that's down in the hole, but we also have three sets of bleachers and a lot of room down both the left field line and the right field line for fans to be able to come and spread out. So I think our number is going to be a lot larger than, you know, 50 to 65 because of our facilities. I also think we can encourage fans to park, you know, behind the outfield fence. We have we changed it from a 4-foot fence to a 6-foot fence, but we have the ability back there for pickup trucks to be able to drive right up to the fence and sit in the back of their pickup trucks and see right over the fence. So I think that's something that, you know, we've seen in playoff games before, but we might see it in regular season games this year, just so people get to come to the games. You know, and that's obviously an option that I think parents are willing to, you know, to pursue just to be able to see their, you know, sons and daughters for softball and, you know, and everything else. I don't really think of any other questions I have. Like I said, you know, the big thing just to continue to reiterate is I hope that as a association, as the high school league moving forward, that we will, you know, unturn every stone and really, you know, look at every avenue and every opportunity to try to play as many games as we can, to try to do everything we can to get the playoffs in, and you know, to try to get these kids a full season.
Very good. Coach Sharpie?
Man, Double A, I thought I could talk, man, but these two guys and yourself, I tell you what, man.
Especially those two guys.
What a great group you got here. But very, very high quality insight from both Nelly and Coach Perry there, and both hit the nail around the head. Especially start with Coach Nelson, you know, the special season, but then again, some things are gonna be limited, and from the Low Country perspective, we don't have much in the way of an answer in terms of who can come to our games yet. For me, it just appears like they're trying to get through winter sports here first and then just shift gears to spring. Obviously, we know protocol. We have to take temperatures and everything for tryouts and for start of practice coming up. You know, the same temperature that we did for football and basketball and wrestling. But in terms of attendance for visiting teams and our home games and what have you, we don't have any answers for that yet. We also don't have many answers in terms of you know, how things are going to proceed. If there's a cancellation here and there, you know, obviously we've, you know, the two regions got together and created a unit schedule, kind of one mega schedule, and that's going to help us. So I think we're going to try and bubble that up a little bit with a JV schedule, so we're not contact tracing and having those issues. If our JV's playing Berkeley and we're over here playing Wando on a varsity level, you've got all these intangibles in play here as to who you're coming in contact with. So that's good and that's in place. But the other rules and the other guidelines, I don't have any answers to those questions. And it's kind of making me a little nervous, but I'm a nervous guy anyway. So I think my AD just kind of, hey, man, just chill. But you know, listen, baseball coaches don't chill. We have our schedule made in the May or June before the previous spring is even thought about. And same here this past year. So when you start changing our schedule, like I see Coach Hux on Twitter all the time, you know, he's copy number 6 of my schedule. And it's kind of funny, but it's not, because it's driving us nuts. But we can control what we can control. And like Coach Nelson has said, and Coach Perry, you know, we're going to do what we can to get started the right way, to enjoy every moment, every practice. But the one outlier, like they've already hit on, and these guys done a great job serving our coaches association. I'm obviously a member, and I'm anxious to hear back from not only the high school league, but what our boys up there on that committee can do to try to give us some uniformity going forward, as to, you know, if something were to come up, if we have a school that has 4 or 5 guys out, what's the line? Where do we draw that line in the sand? What constitutes, okay, can they cancel? And what happens if they cancel again? Like, and I like, you know, Coach Perry threw in there the basketball scenario. I think they're looking at, maybe even wrestling too, a tournament at the very end. If this were to happen, a tournament, obviously you got to think that that's going to be in play. But as baseball coaches, it's going to affect our rosters. It's going to affect how we utilize our personnel. You know, if my shortstop's out, am I going to pull the JV shortstop up? Am I gonna keep 25 guys on my roster? Does that matter? So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and we'd like for them to be answered. But in the back of my mind, you got to expect the unexpected. The only certainty of life is change, and we're going to have to be ready at the drop of a hat. I know in our district, that's kind of how we operate. Hey, man, you know, Berkeley County, Charleston County, those jokers have been back face-to-face for a couple weeks now. What have we been doing? E-learning. Normally we follow suit. We haven't. And that directly affects athletics, which has kind of just caught us off guard. And so just like the coaches have said, you know, we need uniformity in terms of what happens if we have a school that has an X number of kids out or there's contact tracing involved. What do? In football, it was one kid in the locker room. We saw with Oceanside. We saw with different programs that had issues with a player or two having COVID. They were out of the playoffs. I mean, that was their season coming to an end. I mean, they had a great season. There's one guy throw a wrench in it. Or does it take six guys? Does it take, you know, your starting guy, your guy on the bump? What's going to happen there? So baseball is different, as we know. Softball is a little even. I mean, they're more different than we are. They've got their own issues, but not nearly as much as baseball. You know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I commend these two guys for everything that they're doing on the SCBCA, and they're gonna lock horns and get it done if they need to. I know that, and I hope they can get something done, and maybe we can swing something over to Commissioner Winsky, and maybe they'll adopt our proposal or whatever it may be to, okay, this is our uniformity plan. Let's go with it. Because our guys will vote. Our guys will send stuff out. We'll vote. We'll be ready to go as we did back in the summer. Cause we're passionate and we're prepared and we're organized but at the same time, from our end down here in the Lowcountry, we don't have many answers in region 7 and 8 as far as, it's going to be a school by school, decision, district decision, District 2 for us. There's not much in the way of answers for attendance for us. Bus rides will be on the bus. We'll be on, as far as I know, we'll still be on the bus. One kid in every seat, which, you know, it's kind of been the game plan from day one. If we're playing, we're going on a bus. So with that, you know, that answer is kind of already locked in, at least from my perspective, but I'm with these other guys but I don't have as many answers as they do in terms of attendance and do we spray the Ryobi sprayer to cleanse everything in between innings? What do we do? Fifth inning stretch, are we spraying Ryobi? Are we going cardboard cutouts? I got my cardboard ready. $50 for – hey, we'll put the face right on there for you. Your mom isn't here, but she's here. So we're ready for some of that, but like they've been saying, you know, we're anxious dudes and we're ready to be told what's going to happen. And we're just going to have to be on our toes, man. And I'm going to stop talking because these other guys have really, they're really good at it too. But we look forward to it. And I feel confident our SCBCA group will do everything in their power to create a uniform plan going forward. So that is the only certainty that I know of going forward.
So true, Coach. And boy, your passion shines through. You're eager to go. You're eager for these boys to be able to go through no fault of their own. Everything came as an abrupt downfall last year. And they've had to endure so much. Again, nothing that they've done wrong. They've just had to sit there and wait for adults to make what sometimes seem to be curious decisions in terms of what's best for them, whether it be the classroom, the athletic fields, et cetera. But I know that, you know, as soon as we finish up this Zoom here, this podcast, I'm actually going to take my boys and a handful of their buddies just trying to get ready for their high school season because their high school coach can't do anything with them. I just volunteered to, hey, we're doing 3 and 4 days a week. We're doing some workouts to make sure their arms are in shape and be ready to go when their bell rings, that they're swinging the bats, that they're getting ground balls, they're going to be in physical condition. You know, parents and kids are having to take that responsibility on their own, and that's okay because I enjoy it. But we're very fortunate that, you know, we could have paraded a lot of very good high school coaches into this podcast. Fortunately, these three said yes and were able to join us for this roundtable discussion. But there are a lot of good coaches across the state that are very eager. If you're a parent listening to this, if you're a player listening to this, your coach wants to get you on the field. They know what you've endured. They get some sense of an idea because they remember what it was like to be a baseball player themselves and to look forward to the upcoming season, particularly if it's late in your high school career or being recruited. All those things have just been somewhat derailed. And so it's tough for all of us to sit wherever we sit in the pyramid of the game and just have to sit back and see this happen to young people. We want to get you on the field. These coaches want to get you on the field and see baseball players be able to realize their dreams and all the hard work they've put in behind the scenes to put on a show for us to be able to just have a front row seat and enjoy. And so what we'll do just here, I just want to one last time thank each of you for coming on, parting shots, and we'll put a wrap on this thing. Coach Nelson?
Awesome. One point I think I failed to mention was, you know, I do work for you guys at Diamond Prospects. I coach Diamond Devils. TP right now as we're on this call is at a club volleyball tournament in Atlanta. My daughter plays club volleyball. I think those organizations or those institutions have proved that we can play sports safely. Having worked the showcases, Palmetto Games, Diamond Devil camps, tournaments, traveling across the country. As I mentioned earlier, the pandemic is real. I've had it. I've lost. Charles Peterson was one of my best friends, you know, teammates growing up. I think it's been proven that we can play sports safely. You know, had there been a lot of deaths, or had there been, unfortunately, been a lot of kids who were on ventilators, my first priority is safety for my players. I wouldn't want any part of being out there if I didn't feel it was safe. I think we can do everything in our power to ensure that we take every precaution possible. And, you know, there's risk involved in everything we do. There's risk in getting in a car and driving to work every day. There's risk in going to the supermarket. There's risk in going to anywhere. There's risk involved every day. You know, I think the outcomes of sports have been a huge part of my life. The reason I'm a coach is because of coaches I had in my life and the influential people that were part of my life. These kids need it. They need to be on the playing field. They need to be learning the life lessons that both of these guys are good guys. All my buddies are coaches. It's not about the wins and losses. It's about the interaction. It's about the relationships. It's about the day to day and all the things that we're able to provide. And heck, I learned from my players too. I've learned a lot of things from being around. It keeps me young. I'm an old guy and these guys keep me young and they need it. And football has proven that you can play throughout the season. Basketball, you know, when they've played, it's been safe. Professional sports, college sports, we got through college football. We can play sports. And if everyone takes the right precautions and everyone does everything they can do to ensure it, we can play our sports season. And I'm 100% confident in that. And I hope everyone, you know, stays positive about it. And I hope everyone does everything in their power to ensure these kids get that opportunity. You know, I used to be, when I was young, it was a lot about wins and losses. And the older you get, when you coach your kids and you get to be the relationships you form with kids that last you a lifetime and other coaches, these kids need to be on the playing field and they need to be honing in their craft and chasing their goals and chasing their dreams.
So very true. Very well said. Coach Perry.
Yeah. Just to wrap it up. Nelly said, you know, stay positive. And that's something that throughout this whole thing, I've had to just continue to remind myself and remind our staff and remind our players. You know, we preach so much in our program, as well as so many other programs out there. I'm on Twitter and I see everybody preaching, you know, control the controllables and you know, be in the moment and process, you know, and that's a big thing in our program is process over outcome. So I think for us to constantly, you know, drive that point home to our players, you know, we've got to be good examples of that too. And we've got to just really embrace the process, whatever the process may be. You know, we've got to stay positive. We owe it to our players to remain positive through this whole thing and really just be able to handle whatever adversity we face and just, you know, have that kind of one pitch mentality and hey, so what next pitch? And I think, you know, we preach that during games to our players and that's how we're going to have to handle this, this pandemic. That's how we're going to have to handle the adversity that comes our way this spring with cancellations and with postponements and things. You know, we've just got to keep positive and just keep rolling and just control the controllables, embrace every moment that we have with these young men and just keep trying to, you know, teach them about the process of it all. That's, you know, that's the big thing that I have to remind myself. I didn't do a great job of it last spring. I'll be the first to admit it. I got down, I got negative. I pointed fingers, all the things that I don't want our team to do and that I don't want to teach young men to do. I was very guilty of it. You know, I blamed the high school league. I blamed school districts. I blamed everybody that I could blame for us not playing last spring. And at the end of the day, you know, it probably was necessary for the, you know, the shutdowns and for them to halt our season. I wished we could have come up with a plan to play in May, because I think when we did get things rolling in June, you know, those of us that coached summer baseball saw that it could be done and it could be done safely. And then obviously with the football season being successful for the most part, not without hiccups, but successful through the state championships, college football, you know, played a national championship on all levels, I believe. And so, you know, I think we've just got to, you know, like I said, just take every day that we get on the field and consider it a success and not worry about the ones that we don't get or not worry about what we can't control with other teams and with the school district and the school district's decisions. We just have to embrace every single day that we have with these young men and, you know, working with them, not only in our great sport, but with all the things that we can teach them about life as well. And again, one last thing. Thank you so much, Austin, for having us on. But also, thank you so much for all you do for the state of in the state of South Carolina for the sport of baseball. I can't say enough about Diamond Prospects, the organization, and all the men that are involved in it. They're some of my closest friends, and I just, the passion is unparalleled, and the work ethic of every single person involved. We'll be in that war room for 8 to 10 hours on Saturday, and then we'll be out there all day with each other on Sunday. And you know, there's no better group out there, and nobody that I want to do it with. So thank you again for all you do.
Well, thank you, TP. And as you guys know, it does take a collective effort to pull off anything successful. Fortunately, over time, I've been able to insulate myself with a lot of quality people. There's no way. And most of the good ideas, I tell people all the time, most of the good ideas, anything that you look at DP and say, well, that's pretty cool that they do that. Probably was not my idea. I can assure you it's come through the hard work and just the loyalty of a lot of other people. So I appreciate you saying that, TP, and appreciate you coming on as well. You're a huge asset to everything we do. Coach Sharpia, why don't you wrap us up here?
Well, just to attempt to wrap us up with two excellent statements there from Coach Nelson and Coach Perry. Again, obviously, thank you for having us on and what I think will be a very, very valuable podcast for folks to tune into and listen to this week and going forward. But as coaches, it's our job to teach life lessons through sports. And I think this is the ultimate time to do so. Right before Christmas break, I met with our seniors and really drove home the fact that, unlike with any other senior class, it is up to them to control the mindset of our program. I can say to I'm blue in the face, guys, let's control what we can control. but they have the true pulse of our team. They lead by example. And I can talk all I want to, but when they have the mindset of, guys, we can't control this, but here's how we're going to react. As long as that happens, we'll be just fine. And we'll play the next game and play the next pitch, play the next inning, like we always preach as baseball coaches. And now's the time to kind of put that into action. We always preach, play the next play, play the next pitch. And now more than ever, this is the time to do so and control what we can control, like Coach Perry said. And that's all we can really do. And I believe we're going to have a season. I believe we're going to have a full season. Are there going to be speed bumps? Absolutely. Luckily, we have enough time to adjust on the calendar. And we have history on our side as far as they canned us last spring. They're going to try and do everything they can to get us a season this year. We got to believe that. We got to be ready. Like I told our guys, be ready. I'm not going to see you in January, February 1st. Be ready. Be ready for anything that comes your way. And that's the message that I give our guys that graduate and head off into college or the workforce. You know, make adjustments in your life. Things won't always go your way, but be ready. And that's kind of where I'll leave this. And I really appreciate it. I think we'll all be ready as baseball coaches. We've been ready to go for a while. Summer and fall ain't the same as putting on your school colors and that school hat and taking pride in your community and playing for your high school team. And just like Coach Perry and Coach Nelson, I'm sure will attest to, and there's nothing better in this world than wearing those colors that you grew up going to watch as a young kid. You know, your neighbor down the street who's hitting home runs for your high school team, you want to be like him. And I can't wait for us to get going. And I think it's going to happen, but we got to be positive. And again, thanks for having us on and having me on. And I look forward to seeing you guys down the road.
Absolutely. I love the optimism that each of you have shown. We're all excited. We love baseball. That's why we're still in this sport. We loved it when we played, when we realized we weren't good enough to continue playing it. We earned somewhere along the way the term coach or scout or whatever it is that allows us to still enjoy a child's game. And all of us are just so excited at the possibility of a season. Fortunately, we've got a lot of time, like you guys had mentioned, on our side that we didn't have 1 year ago. This thing came in like a wrecking ball and did its thing, and we were just kind of having to adjust on the fly. Fortunately, a lot of smart people have been able to put their heads together and at least, as you guys have mentioned, hopefully have a plan in place to get these kids back on the field. So once again, I just want to thank the three of you for your time. You loyal listeners, if you've been able to stick it out, I think we've been going for well over a little over 60 minutes. But in between minute one and wherever we are now, a lot of really good food for fodder has been discussed and dissected from these three guys. And so hopefully wherever you sit, wherever you are in this baseball pantheon, hopefully this has been informative for you, answer some questions, maybe raise some questions that we can get answers to going forward. And maybe, you know, in time, get a perfect storm put together with all the powers that be to get these kids on the field and enjoy the greatest game of all time. So once again, thank you for your time. We will conclude our latest podcast and look forward to joining you again very, very soon. Hope to see you at the ballpark very, very soon. Take care.